Welcome in, podcast listeners. The Masters is officially underway. Lots of excitement there. We've got a fun show for you. Frank Isola will hang out with us in the first hour. Jeff Schwartz in the second, and The Miz from WWE in the third hour. All of that headed your direction. We'll talk about Deshaun Watson. We'll talk about the NBA getting crushed in ratings by Gonzaga and Baylor. And we will also talk about the strange details of the Tiger Woods car crash finally coming out. Plus, of course, the Masters and Danny G with some Animal Thunderdome. All that headed your direction. It'll be Outkick live right now on podcast, but live on the radio from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern. Enjoy.
Outkick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
We got a lot to roll through with you on the Thursday edition of the program here. Appreciate all of you rolling with us. And obviously, the Masters are back in April. Things continue to get more and more normal in the world of sports. And I am excited to have the Masters to talk about in April again. Now, of course, we had it in November. Different feel. May never have a fall at Augusta again. Hopefully, honestly, we don't for the rest of our lives. But it's good to have spring springing in a big way. Spring has sprung for a lot of you all over the country who are sports fans. Augusta is a sign along with the finish of the NCAA tournament and the start of Major League Baseball that summer and spring and great weather is here. And so we're going to be talking a lot about the Masters. We've got a loaded show. I'll let you know where we're headed. Frank Isola is going to join us in the first hour here from ESPN and SiriusXM. Jeff Schwartz will join us second hour. We'll be talking a lot about the latest stories in the NFL as we inch closer and closer to the draft. And then the third hour of the program, Mike the Miz from WWE, who has won so many championships over the years, formerly from the Real World Road Rules Challenge, the Real World itself. He is scheduled to join us in hour three. I am heading down to Tampa this weekend to go watch Sunday at WrestleMania. I will be, if you are among the people who will be watching WrestleMania on Sunday, maybe with your kids, I will be there at the event on Sunday, which I'm excited to see. Big crowd. I think 25,000 or so people will be present on Sunday, and it should be cool to be able to watch that. So that is where we are headed, and it should be a lot of fun. But we began the show where we have been and found ourselves quite a bit for the past few weeks, and that is with the continued fallout surrounding Deshaun Watson. And I will tell you, this is maybe because I'm a lawyer, I have been more aware of how significant the peril that Deshaun Watson is facing than probably anybody else in sports media. And we have seen star quarterbacks face legal issues before, whether it's Ben Roethlisberger with sexual assault allegations, whether it is Michael Vick with the dog fighting, whether it's Jameis Winston with sexual assault allegations. We have never seen the scope and substance of allegations of a sexual assault like we have seen against Deshaun Watson. 22 different women have filed lawsuits, and now women are starting to come forward and tell their stories publicly with their own names out there. And that seems, this happened, I guess it was on Tuesday, that Tony Busby had a press conference and the first women went public with their own stories and their own names, and they told their stories. And since then, things are getting worse for Deshaun Watson in a hurry. And you can start to see how things are getting worse in a hurry. Nike has suspended their relationship, endorsement relationship with Deshaun Watson. We also have Beats by Dre, which is now owned by Apple, making the decision that they will no longer allow Deshaun Watson to be an endorser with them. And HEB, a big sort of beloved institution in Texas that everybody interacts with, was said publicly that their endorsement deal with Deshaun Watson ended at the end of 2020 and they would not be beginning it anew. And so as all of these major corporations are turning away from Deshaun Watson, the same thing is happening with the Houston Texans, who put out a statement a couple of days ago saying that they were appalled basically by the allegations that have been levied against Deshaun Watson. And I am now putting my lawyer hat on for you. And I always say, and this is one of the challenging things that people have to learn about the legal process, people want you to say, hey, what's going to happen? And I always say that lawyers can't predict exactly what's going to happen, but we can give you a range of potential outcomes. And the better the lawyer, the better the ability to tell you the range of potential outcomes, what it's likely to be. And that's why I always encourage people to think probabilistically as opposed to definitively, because it's hard to know. And 2020, God knows, should have taught us all this. It's hard to know exactly what's going to happen, which is why it's smart to keep a range of potential outcomes in mind. And what I would tell you is everything is continuing to get worse for Deshaun Watson pretty much every single day. Because if you go back to when this allegation first went public from this first woman, Deshaun Watson put out a statement, said, hey, they wanted to settle with us. They wanted like $100,000. In fact, Rusty Hardin has shared the email correspondence over that first allegation, and in an effort to, I think, diminish the severity of the allegations. That is a failure to me, because when the first negotiation was going on in this case, there was not a recognition of how many other women were going to come forward and tell the same story. And if you want to consider this to have been a massive miscalculation, the initial massive miscalculation happened by Deshaun Watson, his agent, his lawyers, and his representatives. Because if they had paid this woman $100,000, her allegation would have never gone public, and all these other women wouldn't have seen necessarily the media coverage of that allegation and also reached out to decide to come forward and tell their story. So there is a large degree of arrogance on behalf of Deshaun Watson, who could have cut a check for $100,000, ensured that this story never went public, and many of the other women may have also never gone public because that first allegation made many of these massage therapists realize, oh, it's not just me, I'm not alone. And that's why you've seen the continued number of lawsuits that have built and built and built that have conspired to create not only a threat to Deshaun Watson's 2021 season, but as there is a criminal investigation now underway, it's possible that Deshaun Watson could spend years in prison. He could be, on the probabilistic scale, worst case scenario, he could be the NFL's version of Jeffrey Epstein or Bill Cosby. He could be a sexual predator who will spend years in prison and his entire NFL career could be over. That is a reasonable and realistic possibility from the legal travails that he is facing right now. I'm not saying it's likely. I'm saying it's reasonable and possible if you look at the scope of potential outcomes. This many women accusing you of this many things is potentially putting Deshaun Watson in the Jeffrey Epstein and Bill Cosby scenario. Both of those men went to prison. Epstein allegedly killed himself. Bill Cosby in prison for years. That is what Deshaun Watson could be facing. Best case scenario for Deshaun Watson continues to get worse and worse. To me, Deshaun Watson, if I were his legal representation right now, I would say, man, we got to settle this case and we got to settle it right now. And it may cost you $25 million. I don't even know what the number is right now to settle this case, but you got to cut a check and all of this you have to pay for and you have to apologize for your behavior. You come out and you say you don't believe that you committed any crimes, but you now understand that your behavior made many women uncomfortable. You are going to reconsider all of your decisions going forward. You're going to apologize to these women, and you are going to ask for forgiveness from the American sports fan public as you attempt to become a better person. That's what I would tell Deshaun Watson right now. Cut the check for $25 million. Put every one of these lawsuits behind you. hope that there are no criminal charges being brought, and serve your probably potentially season-long suspension. I don't know what it's going to be. And then maybe somebody's going to be willing to trade for you and let you start anew in a new city. And I would also tell him, never for the rest of your life ever get a massage from any woman ever again. Ever. Never do it, Deshaun Watson. Change your ways. End any possibility of ever getting a massage for the rest of your life. Pay tens of millions of dollars. Apologize to these women. Say that you don't believe you committed a crime, but you understand that you made them uncomfortable, and you might be able to come back and play in 2022. You might avoid becoming Bill Cosby or Jeffrey Epstein. But that's assuming these women want to settle now. Because the problem that Deshaun Watson has is he and his representatives basically called all these women liars. And I bet there are some of them that are not as interested in money now as they are in justice. And so that is a challenge. I believe that the future of Deshaun Watson in the NFL as a quarterback is in significant peril. And it's not crazy to believe that his career, at least for the next several years, could be over. Now, Mike Vick came back after he served time in federal prison for dogfighting. Maybe the same thing's going to have to happen with Deshaun Watson. He may get another chance to be a quarterback after going to prison. We'll have to wait and see. But I think things are deteriorating in a rapid fashion for Deshaun Watson. Nike, Beats by Dre, HEB, all of those big companies deciding suddenly that they can't be connected with him, I believe, is a further sign of how much things are getting worse for him now that women are going public and telling their side of the story.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
No limitations apply, however. When we bring in Frank Isola from SiriusXM, from ESPN, at the Frank Isola on Twitter. Frank, were you stunned when you saw the news that Major League Baseball had decided to move the All-Star game, or did you anticipate it?
I kind of thought there was a chance it would happen. I think that Rob Manfred probably figured he's looking at the pros and the cons, and I think what he was concerned from his standpoint, looking at it from the sport, is if he has it in Georgia, what happens if, let's say for argument's sake, Mookie Betts of the Dodgers decides, I'm not playing. Then Dave Roberts, the manager, might say, you know what, I'm not going. Then Clayton Kershaw. So you could get be in a position where maybe some of the players would boycott. But I also think maybe Major League Baseball figured, you know, in a year we're going to honor Hank Aaron. Maybe the last thing we want, if we have this game there, and you know, think about it, Clay, it's July. So everyone's going to be outside. There could be protests on both sides as this is happening. Who knows if there's some kind of disturbance or even if violence breaks out, and maybe Major League Baseball just didn't want to be associated with that.
Were you surprised? And I don't know if you read it, but I was surprised at the decision. I was even maybe more surprised at how quickly there seems to have built a significant... A former commissioner of Major League Baseball, Frank, who wrote an op-ed for the Wall Street Journal, Faye Vincent, saying, hey, this was the wrong decision. I don't know that I've ever seen a former commissioner like this criticize what a current commissioner has done. You've covered sports for a long time. Have you seen that happen before? Were you surprised that Faye Vincent decided, of all places too, by the way, it's not like he was doing an interview, somebody asked him a question, he gave an answer that got a lot of attention. This was a planned article that he wrote, probably in the place guaranteed to be read by the most people affiliated with Major League Baseball business side in general,
yep,
in the Wall Street Journal. It surprised me that he did it.
Yeah, and I do vaguely remember Sports Illustrated doing a story on David Stern. This was after he had obviously retired. And he was critical of some of the things that the league had done. And indirectly, he's kind of criticizing the guy that he had mentored, who served under
right.
him, Adam Silver. So something to that degree. But to do it that quickly, here would be my thing, though, too. So Rob Manfred, no matter how you, like whatever side you're on, if you agree that they should have walked away or you think that they should stay in Atlanta, you know what I find interesting? You know, he's certainly looking out for baseball. He's looking out for his owners. But I would think most owners in baseball probably lean right. I would think a lot of the players probably lean left. So he's probably doing this in a lot of ways to save the players kind of the aggravation of maybe having to go through some of this stuff. Where's the head of the union, Tony Clark? How come he hasn't come out with a statement kind of, you know, supporting Rob Manfred? Now, that could have something to do with the fact that I think they're going to be negotiating a new contract pretty soon. But I do find that, Manfred, say what you want, he's taking all the bullets on this one. And you know this too, Clay. If they had said, no, we're keeping the All-Star game in Atlanta. Think about, the mob that would have come after him then. It's the same thing that's going on right now at Augusta. You knew that there was no way they were going to, not have the Masters played this year at Augusta. That makes no sense. It's a once a year event. The All-Star game, you can kind of pick and choose where you want to have it. Like I had said on Around the Horn on Wednesday, I think people got mad at me. I said the Hawks play 36 home games. The Atlanta Braves are going to play 81 home games. The Atlanta Falcons are going to play 8 home games, 8 or 9, now with the 17-game schedule. Are they going to be asked not to play their games in their home state? So why shouldn't the Masters go on?
Yeah. To me, arguing that you need to move the Masters is like arguing that you need to move the University of Georgia. Like, it exists at one place, right? Like, Georgia is going to play home football games in Athens come hell or high water. That would actually be funny if, somebody tried to say, hey, the University of Georgia needs to play, their game, their home games away from the state of Georgia. I would just love to see the SEC fan reaction, as competitive as college football is in the South, at the idea that Georgia doesn't get to play in Athens. But then Augusta is the Masters, right? I think a lot of people don't understand, because they think about it in the context of the PGA or the U.S. Open or the British Open and think, maybe they're really poorly informed, but you can't play the Masters anywhere else. It's just insanity.
Well, and there are people, there are people who probably disagree with the bill and are probably thinking, this is going to make it much harder for myself to vote. I live in Georgia, right? For hypothetical. But I also live in Augusta, Georgia, and I make a lot of money this week that the Masters is there. Or it's the person who's in downtown Atlanta who figures, come the All-Star game there, I'm really going to make this. That's going to be a really good few days for me. I'm going to make some cash. And I'm thinking, damn, I didn't know you were going to take the thing out of here. I agree. I agree. I don't like the law. That, let's say somebody's saying that, but they're also going to be impacted by it. I think it's easy for a lot of us who don't live in places like that to say, take it out of there. That's right. Take the All-Star game. Just like the NBA did in Charlotte. And then the All-Star game was back in Charlotte, and I still don't know if anything changed with the law. Now, I know that they originally said they weren't going to have it there. They waited a couple of years, and it was back in Charlotte.
Yeah, it's interesting because, and Joe Biden said this a couple of days ago, when he was asked specifically about moving the Masters. We have a tendency, you, me, a lot of people out there, to think about pro sports through the prism of players and coaches, right? Because that's who we're watching on the screen. But then, and this is part of the larger context with COVID shutdowns and everything else. But the guy who sells beer walking around, let's say, in Truist Park in Atlanta, probably owes a lot more of his ability to pay a mortgage on a given home game than an individual player might. Because if you're making $10 million a year, one of 81 home games may not matter that much to you. If you are able to walk around and sell a beer and or peanuts or whatever it is at a stadium, that's oftentimes the difference between a guy being able to pay a mortgage or not, being able to pay rent or not, being able to make a car payment or not. And I think a lot of times we overlook people further down the food chain of professional athletics and college athletics and the impact that a cancellation has on their life, which frankly is probably way more substantial because they don't necessarily have the same bankroll that theoretically a pro athlete does who's been playing for years that has a lot of money saved up and can manage if things aren't normal.
Yeah, and that's why it's a complicated issue because, again, I think there are people down there that people are thinking, I'm actually helping them, but maybe in the long run you're hurting them by not having the event. I'll tell you this, when the U.S. Open, the tennis, comes to New York, it really is about a 17-day event because there's stuff that happens beforehand.
Monster economic impact.
I heard that generates more money than most of the pro sports teams do over the course of their season. Because remember, they could sell. The tickets are insane.
Yep.
And I know people.
And tennis has a super high-end audience, so the value of that crowd is a lot higher than the average sports audience.
Clay, the money that they make from selling food, from selling shirts and rackets and stuff, it absolutely. That's why this year them not having it with fans was a killer for them. But that to your point, stuff like that has an economic impact. And I guess the word was, I don't know, maybe you heard the same thing. The reason why they're going to have it in Colorado is because Colorado was in the running for the All-Star game, so they were kind of set up. They kind of already had a presentation, and they were able to kind of shift. I think when they shifted to Colorado, I don't think they expected everyone to say, whoa, hold on a second. What about the voting laws in Colorado? I don't think they're expecting anybody
that's
to say
that. That's the problem that you open yourself up to, though, if you're Major League Baseball, right? Same thing for Rob Manfred, who's a member at Augusta National, which is a super exclusive membership. If you don't think that your All-Star game can be played in Atlanta, well, how can you personally justify retaining your membership at Augusta? I think that's a very valid question to ask Rob Manfred and whenever he has his next public interview. And, you know, it's easy to sometimes take a stand when there's not direct personal consequences for you. Getting a Masters membership is a pretty monster deal. And so far as I know, Rob Manfred has not relinquished that yet, but I think that's a fair question to ask him. It's a big topic that we opened the show with yesterday. Boycotting the Beijing Olympics, right? I don't know if you've paid a lot of attention to this. Yeah. The idea that I put out there was, hey, if we don't want to go to China, I hate the idea of all these top winter sports athletes not being able to compete and try to win championships in their chosen fields. Why can't we just throw our own version of the Winter Olympics in the United States, Canada, Western Europe, all the democracies that don't necessarily want to acquiesce to the behavior of China, come to America or to Canada or whatever it is. We win most of the top competitions anyway. That seems like a nice compromise to me that would actually also, we're talking about economic impact, provide a fairly substantial economic impact in a good way to somewhere in the United States or Canada recovering from the impacts of COVID.
Yeah, it certainly, you can have the Pan Am Games and Pan Am Winter Games in Park City, Utah.
There you go.
My one thing about like boycotts, and you know, I covered Isaiah Thomas when he was running the Knicks, and he was supposed to be on that '80s team that was supposed to go to Moscow, and we boycotted the Olympics. And there is something about all those people that missed out on. Because remember in '84, when the Russians couldn't come to the U.S. or they decided to boycott the Olympics, and it turned into basically just the United States winning every medal. And I don't know, it felt like something was taken away. I always feel bad. I understand the China part of it, but the NBA is in business with China. And guess what? You want to talk about Rob Manfred, but bad timing.
They just signed the Major League. It's unbelievable. Yes, yes.
So, this is what kills me about Major League Baseball. I love the sport. I enjoy it a lot. But last year they had a disaster of a year with a 60-game season. Then on the final day, all everyone was talking about was Justin Turner on the field without his mask on, or whatever that was. And now here they are. They've actually gotten off to a really good start. There's a lot of good stories out there, including the kid in Detroit who's gotten off to a great start. And look, like baseball can never get out of its own way. They do this thing with down in Atlanta, and Rob Manfred's getting killed for it. Then people bring up that he's a member of Augusta, and then they just had this streaming. I mean, the timing of the deal that they just cut with China, in light of what happened here, it's a little unfortunate for Major League Baseball.
No doubt. Deshaun Watson starting to lose sponsors. Nike, I think Beats by Dre pulling away. Is this a function of those women coming out and putting their name to the allegation? Is that fundamentally changing the calculus of this equation now? Because instead of anonymous accusers, suddenly there are the women that are saying, I was the masseuse who was mistreated and sexually assaulted by Deshaun Watson. And once you put a face to an allegation, it makes it a lot harder, it seems to me, for a lot of people to then disparage these women and say they're being dishonest.
Yeah, and without making any judgments on Deshaun Watson, I just want to say this. It's such a tragic story because he's at Clemson, he was such a likable guy. And, you know, he's such an easy guy to root for. And to see what's happening here, it's disappointing. And, again, there is a presumption of innocence. But, you know, Nike and Beats by Dr. Dre and the National Football League, you know, they don't have to wait for a courtroom proceeding. They can do whatever they want to do. And I think you're right. I think the fact, you know, 22 people is a lot. And then, like you said, you know, somebody's putting their name to it. And it's, you know, this is just like the first couple of dominoes that are falling here. I would have to think at some point the NFL is going to have to really acknowledge what's going on. And could there be some kind of suspension with pay while this is going on? Because remember, if you're the Houston Texans, you know, you're entering a draft on, I guess it's April 29th. You kind of want to know what your quarterback situation is going to be.
Yeah, I mean,
it doesn't look like he's going to be traded. But wouldn't you want to have some sense from the league? And I have to believe that ownership management is in contact with the league office. They want to find out, is this guy going to be available to play for us at all next season? I would tend to think at this point, the way things are trending, it's no. But I think this is kind of the first couple of dominoes to fall now for Deshaun Watson. And it's for him, it is not trending in a good place.
For New York, you're a little bit behind in terms of where we are in the South in terms of good weather. When you watch the Masters on television, is a part of the attraction to you, hey, spring and summer are super close now because I can see it already in Augusta? And how excited are you for the Masters, which tees off here in about an hour and a half?
Well, it all happens like so quickly. It's the Final Four.
Yep.
And then it's the Masters the next week, and baseball has just started. It's the second weekend of baseball. And up here, you do start to feel that things are changing. Plus, two, it used to be the NBA playoffs that start around April.
Yeah, that's right.
Obviously, that's not going to happen this year. But there definitely is something to it because the course always looks incredible. And, you know, it almost looks fake. That's how beautiful the place is. I've never been there. I'd like to go. Everyone, you know, people that have been down there,
it's amazing.
About it. But
it truly is.
Yeah, when you see it, When you watch on TV and you know, the birds are chirping, I don't know, is that CBS piping in the sounds of birds chirping?
I think either they exaggerated a bit, but yes, it definitely
it's like
is.
It's Pavlov's dog. I want to go outside the minute I hear that.
We're talking to Frank Isola, SiriusXM. You can find him on ESPN as well. We're breaking down everything as we continue to roll through the start. You mentioned how much you like Major League Baseball and how much of a fan you are of the sport. That's rolling. Also, you work in the NBA, and the Nets have had a heck of a run they've been on. James Harden basically came out. You've watched him play a lot up close and said, yeah, I consider myself to be the MVP. In your mind, should he be the MVP? I know he's got a hamstring issue right now, and he may not be 100% healthy down the stretch, but based on what we've seen so far, is he the best player in the NBA?
Yeah, for me, the way things were going before his injury, I felt it was him and Nikola Jokic, one and two, wherever you wanted to put them. Now, Vegas was still saying Jokic. This is obviously before the injury to Harden. I understand, and listen, I don't like the way that he worked his way out of Houston. And he was out of shape, and he was late, and everything like that. But, you know, I do the games on, yes, the net games. Listen, I'm not a homer. If they win, that's great. If they lose, it really doesn't impact my life that much. That guy was having he was carrying the team. I mean, Kevin Durant up till, had played up until Wednesday 19 games. So you tell me, look how the Lakers are doing without LeBron James. You know, they're barely, you know, they're still going to say about 500 without LeBron. And the Nets have thrived without Kevin Durant because James Harden has been terrific. Now, granted, too, Kyrie Irving has played well, but the guy is a brilliant offensive player. He's off the charts. I agree with him. Like I said, I usually get a vote. I guess I'm going to get one this year. And up until he got hurt, I was looking at him and Nikola Jokic of the Denver Nuggets as one and two in either direction. Remember, LeBron's been hurt, so that's what kind of removes him from the equation. But if he's going to be out, you know, they're saying he's not going to be reevaluated for another 10 days, which likely means he's out 2 weeks. I don't know how he's going to be able to win it.
Frank Isola, enjoy the Masters. Enjoy the weekend. Appreciate the time, my man.
I tell them to turn the sounds of the birds up, all right? I really like that.
I am excited.
A couple of crows in there and seagulls.
The sound of the birds is going to be echoing, reverberating all over the place here in about an hour and a half, when the tee-off happens. Thanks, my man.
That's awesome. Thanks.
That is at the Frank Isola. You can listen to him on SiriusXM. You can watch him on ESPN.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year-round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dub, as we get closer and closer to tee time in Augusta, I think one of the most entertaining stories that is out there is the mad genius that is DeChambeau. Bryson, like, we have no idea what exactly he's going to look like. And I don't know, Dub, if you saw the video, but there was a video of him on the practice range.
I saw it.
Just hammering.
It was unbelievable.
I mean, just absolute. Like, when I watched that video, Vijay Singh was like standing beside him, like in disbelief. And when I saw that, I thought to myself, have they sped up the video, or is he actually swinging that fast and that hard? And they're like, no, that's real. And so I love this guy. I like when people disrupt, you know, sort of staid organizations. And it certainly is the case that DeChambeau's like the guy who shows up at the normal kind of quiet pool party and just decides to run and do a cannonball in, right? Like everybody else is kind of swimming around quietly, like, or, you know, it's just a, like, if you've ever been to one of those pool parties where nobody's actually in the water and everybody's kind of just standing around the edge of the pool party. And then DeChambeau is just like going to jump in and there's a huge, like there's splash that goes everywhere. That seems to me to be like him right now.
Well, he's the scene in Caddyshack where all the caddies get to go to the pool for 15 minutes, right?
Yeah.
And they are just totally disrupting everybody's peaceful, quiet time. But you're right. The way he's swinging the club in that video clip, he looks like one of the long drive competitors. Like, he is literally swinging as hard as he can. And his swing speed is, like, just off the charts, even compared to the tour pros. Like, it's unbelievable. Now, do I think he's going to be swinging like that in the actual tournament? Probably not, but you can't totally rule it out. I mean, there's some par fives at Augusta National that are totally gettable. 13 in particular, if he turns the corner on the par five 13th and hits one good and hits it in the fairway, I mean, he could have 100 yards into a par five. Like, that is totally possible.
What's wild about this to me, the wildest I would say, is he's now moved up to the co-favorite at FanDuel alongside of Dustin Johnson. And let me mention this to everybody out there. We've been mentioning it all week long. Right now, if you go to FanDuel.com/Clay and you bet on Jordan Spieth, on Rory McIlroy, and or on Dustin Johnson, you pick one of them to make the cut, then you get back $100. That's a 20-to-1 payout. A $5 bet turns into $100. That is a tremendous value. I'd encourage everybody to go to FanDuel.com/Clay. You got about an hour left until tee time begins to be able to get that bet in if you are able to. FanDuel.com/Clay. So you are bullish on the Bryson DeChambeau hype that has now led him to the co-favorite alongside of Dustin Johnson right now at FanDuel to win the Masters this weekend.
Well, you say hype, but when you think back to November when last year's Masters was played, the hype was truly off the charts. It was the only thing people were talking about. I think he was like 6-to-1 to win in November, which was just totally ridiculous, and he barely made the cut. Now, I don't know if you'll remember this, but one of his tee shots, I believe it was on the third hole early in the week, he hits the ball, it lands in the rough, but they just never found the ball. It got embedded into the ground, basically buried itself because he hit it so hard and high that they never found the ball. He ended up making triple bogey there. So that, I mean, that was one of the worst breaks I've ever seen on a golf course. But this year, he's got another year under his belt. And I mentioned yesterday, the Augusta National is the course where experience matters the most and your past results matter the most. I really could see him being there on Sunday afternoon. I didn't personally bet him, but if he's getting the green jacket put on him by Dustin Johnson on Sunday evening, I would not be surprised one bit.
You know, it's interesting, too, because I think he's great for golf, right? Because polarization, whether people want to believe it or not, conflict is the reason why we consume most content. And some of you are out there and you're like wrinkling your faces. You're like, what are you talking about? Conflict is what is the fuel for virtually every story that exists in the world. And let me explain what I mean. You wouldn't watch a superhero movie if there wasn't an arch enemy of that superhero competing against him. Superman without Lex Luthor is a pretty boring dude. Batman without the Joker doesn't really have a lot of sizzle or sex appeal. Right now, who is a villain in golf? Right? I think Bryson, there's not a lot of great villains in sports in general because all these athletes have gotten so wussified because of their social media. They're afraid of the comments that they'll get and the mean things that people might say about them. Wrestling, and actually we're going to talk to The Miz. I'm going to WrestleMania this weekend. I love wrestling because there's a heel. There's a guy who is willing to play the role of bad guy, and they do it so well. It used to exist in sports all the time, right? Like, if you go back and think about it, Reggie Miller was a great heel. Charles Barkley was willing to be a great heel. Rick Mahorn. Remember Rick Mahorn? Everybody hated Rick Mahorn. relatively speaking, a lot of those hateable stars don't really exist now. Bill Laimbeer, his entire campaign was predicated on being hated. In fact, the entire Detroit Pistons were willing to be the bad guy to Michael Jordan's good guy in many ways. And I feel like DeChambeau, he may be a great dude. I know nothing about him. I don't have any personal relationship with very many golfers. But I feel like he's leaning into that villain role. Don't you feel like that a little bit? Like, and maybe villain is the wrong phrase exactly, but he's definitely leaning into the idea of being a mad scientist.
Oh, well, there's no doubt. And when you think of the sport of golf in general, change is not really a word that comes to the top of the list. You know, it takes a while for the style to adjust and so on. But there's two guys, really, not named Tiger Woods, and I'm not comparing these two guys to Tiger Woods in the sense of them moving the needle, but Bryson DeChambeau and Jordan Spieth right now are the two guys that people who don't typically watch golf are tuning in to watch this weekend, because Bryson DeChambeau is hitting the ball further than we've ever seen a player at this level hit the ball, and Jordan Spieth is back from a four-year hiatus coming to a course where he's won in the past and come awfully close a couple other times. Without those two guys this week, I'm not sure there's a ton of interest in this tournament at all from the casual
in general
fan.
Because Tiger provokes a lot of reaction. Most people, I think, are Tiger fans, but he still provokes a lot of reaction. Are people really strongly allied one way or the other with the Rory McIlroys and the Justin Thomases and the Xander Shufflies and the, you know, like, I just don't feel like there's anybody. Sergio had a little bit of a villain component to him, right, where people were willing to believe negative things about him. But there aren't that many, you know, sort of golfers who are comfortable wearing the black hat at all.
Well, there's one in particular, and that's Patrick Reed. There's a lot of people.
Everybody hates Patrick
but
Reed.
But it's hard to be a true villain. I mean, it sounds weird to say.
But do people really like Patrick Reed?
That's what I'm about
Reed
to say.
Too?
Like, there's really nobody that likes Patrick Reed. Like 80 to 90 to maybe 95% of golf fans just really don't like the guy because he's had cheating scandals in his past, which is a big no-no for golf, obviously. And we had something like that occur just a couple months ago at a tournament that he ended up winning by five strokes. But there's just not a whole lot likable about the guy.
Yeah, and I think that kind of ties in with a lot of times if you're a good villain, people, you have a certain fan base for you, right? But by which I mean that you may be unlikable, but you're so unlikable that people start to respect the swagger that you play with. And I don't feel like that's true with Patrick Reed. I do feel like it could be true with DeChambeau.
Yeah, he's changing the game. And look, I'm kind of on the fence with DeChambeau. There's been moments where I really just don't care for him, but he's growing on me. I have to admit, over the past basically 6 months, he's really grown on me, and I don't have a problem with it. And I think he's good for the game.
All right, when we come back, I'm going to talk about something that's not good for the game, and it is, and this is pretty entertaining, I think, comparing the college basketball audience with the NBA Finals audience. I don't know how many people will actually be willing to do this, but I was looking at the numbers for how many people watched Baylor and Gonzaga, because a lot of people out there have been defending the NBA, posting the worst finals ratings basically ever. Around 7 million people on average watched every NBA final game as it went six games, and 17 million people roughly watched the Baylor-Gonzaga game, even though it wasn't that close. Why are 10 million more people watching the college basketball national championship game than watching any of the NBA Finals games? We will discuss when we come back. I think it's a significant storyline. This is Outkick on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick, the coverage with Clay Travis, weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.